Okay, this is the moment where you end your conversation if possible, turn and face the front, and try not to listen to me in the light of the wonderful Dan Snead next week, who is such a great speaker and so easy to listen to that you never want him to stop. But believe me, there'll be an end to this message. Okay. This week, Joe and I have talked quite a lot about coals, you know, black coals of fire. You know that sometimes a coal gets going in the fire and it just falls out of the fireplace and it loses its fire. Do you ever feel like that, that you've lost your fire? And I do. I felt a bit like that this week, actually. So in my heart, I've been desperately praying this morning, God, breathe on my heart. In the Valley of Dry Bones, Ezekiel's Valley of Dry Bones, it said that it was full of dry bones. They were very dry. But God got those dry bones, the old skeletons, they all came together. He put flesh on them and then he breathed on them. Let's stand, shall we, just now, and ask for God to really breathe his life into our hearts. In the summertime, we bought a fire pit, and sometimes the fire goes so low that you wouldn't even know the coals were alight. But you get something, and like a tray or something, and you just flap that tray over the fire, and suddenly the black coals start to go red. And then before you know it, they burst into flame and become combustible and burn everything around them. That's what we want to pray for, isn't it? Father, I want to thank you this morning for your grace. We sang this morning, your grace is enough. It's enough for us, Lord. It's enough for me. It's enough for everybody here today, Lord. Thank you for your patience and your kindness with us, Lord. I want to acknowledge, Lord, that my heart is somewhat hard, and I need you, Father, to breathe upon my heart today. Father, breath of God, we pray, would you breathe upon our hearts today? Father, as individuals, we say, breathe, oh breathe, upon our hearts, Lord. Cause them to glow. Cause them to burst into life. Do something new. Do something fresh in our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you may be wondering this morning what this question mark is. It's because I've got a question to ask you. And the question is, little quiz, what is the most expensive perfume in the world? Anybody know that? Any of you people who love perfume? No? I'm quite impressed that you don't know, actually. Well, it's... Hands up, Elizabeth. I see that hand. Okay. It's called Clive Christian Number 1. And it is worth a 30 milliliter bottle. Anyone like to hazard a guess? 30 milliliter... What? I knew you'd been to the bingo, Maureen. We can go a little bit higher than that. Yes? 7,000, Anita. No, a little bit less than that. It's £1,317 for a 30 milliliter bottle. But there's more. In November 2005, Clive Christian created Number One Imperial Majesty, a 10-bottle limited edition of the Clive Christian Number One collection. What do you think a 30-milliliter bottle of this costs? Hands only, no shouting. Now, Joe, if we were in flame, Joe would be doing a little game called Closest here, and the person who's closest gets the prize. So we're going to let three people who put their hands up first guess. Anybody like a guess? Joe, what do you reckon? 5,000. Make a mental note. Raymond doing the counting here. 5,000. Anybody else like to guess? Michelle? 4,800. And Bob, who gets the prize, Raymond? No, she doesn't, but she gets a Freddo chocolate. Fantastic. And if you want to know how much it costs, it's £6,900. So people will pay a lot for some perfume. I want to talk this morning about the most important perfume in the Bible. I wonder if you know what that is. That's the imperial. That's the imperial. This is another kind of imperial. This is the high priest. And in God's house, in the desert, in the wilderness, the high priest was given these wonderful garments, and he's carrying something with him. It's a kind of perfume, which we would usually call incense. And this is what it's made of. The Lord said to Moses, it's Exodus 30, verse 34, take sweet spices, stacte, and onica, and galbanum. I did ask her, as she was coming in this morning, I said, Onyeka, has your name got any connection with onica? And she said, no. And I said, well, it's just a divine coincidence. That lovely, sweet fragrance that comes from Onyeka's heart. And galbanum, with the best frankincense in equal weights. And make from them a perfume such as is made by the art of the perfume maker. Mixed with salt and clean and holy. So it's a very specific recipe, very specific ingredients made by a perfume maker. Stacte, onica, galbanum and frankincense mixed with salt. And there was a fourth ingredient in that which we're going to talk about, the most vital ingredient of all, which we're going to talk about as the last thing that I talk about this morning. So this was a very beautiful fragrance. It was very sweet. It was very powerful. The salt in it, I guess, was there to preserve it, but maybe, because salt kind of brings things out, doesn't it? Beautiful things out. You have a nice meal, put a little bit of salt in, and it tastes even nicer. It was very sweet smelling, but it was very holy as well. It says in verse 36, put some of it crushed, very small, in front of the ark in the tent of meeting, where I will come face to face with you. It is to be most holy. So they got this incense and they put it on the altar of incense right in front of the Holy of Holies, where they would go into God's presence. So this was connected with coming into God's presence. It was a picture of prayer. It was also precious in the sense that if you tried to make it yourself, you would die. And they did. One or two people messed with this, and they tried to make this perfume, this beautiful fragrance, for their own personal use. They were Aaron's sons, and they were struck down. Because God wanted us to know that this thing, whatever it was very important and very precious. David said this. He said, let my prayer be accepted as sweet-smelling incense in your presence. And so God regards our prayers as a sweet-smelling incense. Now, that's just nice to know, isn't it? As you sit down in the morning, wherever you sit, or maybe you stand as you pray, or you sit on the bus or whatever it is, and you just start to talk to God. And as far as God is concerned, it's a sweet-smelling incense. I want us to just think about, I want to just remind you why prayer is good. There's a guy called Tim Keller. Ever heard of Tim Keller? He's one of my favorite authors. I'm trying to remember some of the names of his books, apologetic books. But this is what he said about prayer, just as a reminder about how good prayer is. Prayer is the only entryway into genuine self-knowledge. It is also the main way we experience deep change, the reordering of our loves. You know, we all have loves, don't we? And some things we love very much. And if God asked us to say no to that love, we would find it very difficult sometimes, because we, as human beings, we get very attached to things, don't we? But when in prayer, God reorders our love and makes our love for him, again, he restores it to our first love. It is also the main way we experience deep change, the reordering of our loves. Prayer is how God gives so many of us the unimaginable things he has for us. God is so good Didn't you love what that child said in the prayer meeting? You know, God, thank you that we were so, can serve somebody so lovely. That child had got something about God that I need more of. He's a good God, and he wants to give us unimaginable things. Indeed, prayer makes it safe for God to give us many of the things we most desire. It is the way we know God, the way we finally treat God as God. Prayer is simply the key to everything we need to do and be in life. We must learn to pray. We have to. Very powerful words, those. And you know, I think most of us deep down inside, we know this, don't we? But we need to be reminded, we need to be persuaded that prayer is good enough for us to make that little extra effort that is required to get into his presence. It's God's way of obtaining things from him. If we don't pray, we don't get. The Bible teaches that clearly. The things that we want for ourselves, the things that we want for his glory, we don't get them if we don't pray. It's the way we experience him. Jesus said, "He that has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life." We live by experiencing God. We have a spirit. Recently, my dear mother-in-law, who's closer to eternity than she was, she woke up. Joe and I went to visit her in Brighton Hospital, and she'd been quite ill. She's 92, and she'd been. We left her sleeping. We came back after lunch, and as she came out of her sleep, she turned over with her face shining, and she said, "What it is to have a faith." And then she dozed off to sleep again. And then she woke up again and she said, "What a thing it is to have a Father in heaven." And I thought, praise God. It's wonderful, isn't it? She has experienced him. And she's experiencing him more and more. And it's the way that we are changed. We are changed. When this guy went, the high priest we were looking at, went into the presence of God with that that incense, he came out smelling of that fragrance. In fact, the Bible says that they had to take off their garments, their holy garments, and put on their normal garments before they went out, in case they transmitted holiness to the people. Now, I don't know why God didn't want them to transmit holiness. There must be a reason for it saying that. But whatever happened in that holy place was transmitted outside. And if we want to be a good witness, if we want to be a blessing to our friends, then the best thing we can do is to soak up some of that incense in God's presence. Moses used to spend time in God's presence. And as he was in there, the glory of God got into his skin. And when he came out of the holy place, he scared them. They ran away from him because his face was shining with the glory, with what he'd received in the holy place. I believe God wants that for us. And we know it's true, don't we? You know, praying people and their face shines. We know where they've been. They said of the disciples of Jesus, they perceived that they had been with Jesus. There was something about them. And we get this as we pray. So I want to talk about how to pray a little better. Just a few more tips this morning. You know, we need reminding of things. I've not got a great memory. It's not one of my strongest points. But you know, we've all got pretty bad memories, particularly for God. We quickly forget the things he says to us. We quickly forget our experiences of him. We quickly forget that it's worth it going on with him. So we have to be reminded. Some of us went away on the tribe weekend. Is Michelle here? Michelle's got some great pictures of that tribe weekend. I only managed to get one or two. And there they are, the dear folk, sitting at the Last Supper before we left. Interestingly enough, the first time we met, they were sitting at different tables. But something happened between them all, like it happened between us all on that tribe weekend, and they just wanted to be together. So they're all around that table, the lovely lot. And on that tribe weekend, we were trying to communicate just how to pray. And we just tried with something simple, because many of them use their phones for all sorts of reasons, good and bad. But they've often got that little appendage with them. And so we suggested that they get the YouVersion Bible app on their phones and get the verse of the day. And every day when they get that verse coming up on their Bible app, they just pray about that verse. Just think about it, read it, and pray it back to God, just to get them into the habit of praying to God themselves, and not just when they're with their parents. And they've started to do it, I'm glad to say. But maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're a young Christian. When I became a Christian, the day after in the post, I got a set of Bible reading notes from the guy who'd led me to the Lord. And they were called More Than Conquerors. I still remember them. 30 days of some of the best scriptures in the Bible. And he said to me, he wrote to me and he said, just spend 10 minutes a day. And for me, believe me, that seemed like a lot. But 10 minutes a day, I read those notes, I read the Bible scripture, I read the passage, and I started to develop a habit of prayer that I have never ceased from. And if I don't get my prayer time, I'm rotten, really. I don't have joy. I'm bad company. I need that. We live, don't we, by that presence of God. And so maybe we need to start small. This week, Jo was telling me that she felt that God was leading her to pray for 30 minutes a day, properly. Now, I know there have been times in Jo's life where she's had seasons where actually that wouldn't have been enough. But it's important that we actually do what is manageable. Don't stretch too far. Better to spend a good time with God, 10 minutes, 50 minutes, 10 minutes at the beginning of the day, 10 minutes at the end of the day, and pray properly. And sometimes we have to vary the way we pray. There was a quote that was attributed to Einstein, that if we, I can't even remember it, but the gist of it was that it's foolish to do things the same way and expect the same results. And yet we don't vary our prayer lives. Try something different. And I'm going to give you something this morning just to try out yourselves. Pray. P-R-A-Y. We call this an acronym, is it? Where you actually take the first letters of something and it helps you remember. Yeah, acronym. And this has helped me over the last few days. I got it actually through my Bible app. Somebody else suggested it. But I found that it actually encapsulates the way that I pray. So what do you think the first thing is? What's the P? Praise. Could be please, couldn't it? Praise. Praise. Indeed. Right first time. Praise is a fantastic place to start our prayers. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we start by focusing on God. You know, that's a much better place to start than focusing on ourselves. Do you sometimes find it difficult on Sunday morning to focus away from yourself? Maybe you feel guilty like I often do. Maybe you just feel distracted by things, but we need to drag ourselves away and start to praise God. And believe me, there is plenty of things that we can praise God for. David said this, Psalm 100 verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. So God has ordained praise and thanksgiving as a means, as a way that we can enter into prayer and experience him. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. As we thank him and as we praise him, we get into the right alignment with him too. We recognize that he is God and we are people, and that makes prayer much easier. Thanksgiving is different to praise. Thanksgiving, we thank God for the things he has done. But in praise, we thank him for who he is. And both are very, very important. You know, we learn about God through the Bible by reading about him. Recently, in fact, the last time I spoke, I think, I talked about taking those words, hallowed be your name. And there are so many wonderful names of God in the Bible. You know, like Jehovah, the God who is I am. Jehovah Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. So many different things. There are names of God that we can take and use. And that's praising God for who he is. But you know, it's good to praise God for what he's done as well. Because actually we learn a lot about God through what we experience. I usually find out that he's much kinder than I thought he was. I thought he was in a really bad mood with me. And then he does something immensely kind. And I think, God, you're more generous and kind than I'd thought. We learned about him through life circumstances. But we need to learn to give thanks and praise. A word that I've been dwelling on this week is Elohim. This is the very first word that is used of God in the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What a fabulous way to start the Bible. This word Elohim, the Hebrew word, it's a plural word. It's like saying, in the beginning, God's created the heavens and the earth. And yet it's used in a singular context. It was intentional that God, the three in one, the plurality, who is yet one, the creator of the earth, would use this name. It's God in his creative power. And I don't know whether it's a thing about getting older or not. I won't look to anybody else with grey hair apart from myself. But I find that I just appreciate God in creation more and more. He created the heavens and the earth. It seems the more the astronomers look into the universe, the bigger it seems to get. That there are thousands, billions of stars. That just seems incredible to me. The sun is so big, and yet it's a small star compared to many of these millions and millions and millions of stars in our universe. And who created all of them? Who created this mass? One thing that scientists seem to be more united on is that actually the universe started from somewhere. Where did it start from? Who created that mass? I believe it's the intelligent designer. You know, there's a big debate, obviously, between those who believe in God and those who don't believe in God, between whether God is an intelligent designer or not. You know, it's almost demeaning to call him an intelligent designer. Who are we to call God intelligent? He gave us every ounce of intelligence we've got. Every person on this earth has received their intelligence from God. Of course he's intelligent. And the more that we look into creation, the more wonderful it becomes. And then he's the creator of the earth. You probably noticed there's a rather lovely background there. I got a picture like that, which I went downstairs last year in the autumn time, and I took a picture of the dead leaves, the dying leaves, just in front of our doorstep. And it was very similar to that. There were those kind of leaves. It was so beautiful. And I put it as the screensaver on my phone, because I just wanted to see the beauty in that color. I used to think that it was sentimental to call God beautiful. Oh God, you're beautiful. But of course he's beautiful, because everything that we consider to be beautiful came from God. Every beautiful thing that we see is just a reflection of the beauty and the wonder of God, our creator. Look at the colors in those leaves. Look at the design of those leaves. What do they tell us about God? They tell us that he is beautiful. They tell us that God is a God of order. There's a structure in those leaves. And yet there's a variety in those leaves, because God is also a God of variety, in a sense, disorder within his order. Amazing God. They talk about life and death and resurrection, that we know that those leaves will die this year, but new leaves will appear in this cycle of the seasons, that God is a God of the seasons, that God is a God of resurrection. He's a God of the winter, but he's a God of the spring. And that gives me hope. That is my God. And God speaks to us in creation, and we need to praise him for who he is. What is the R? What do you think the R stands for? Who wasn't at the prayer meeting on Tuesday? Remember that it could be that. Rejoice, could be rejoice. Repent. Okay, it could be those things, couldn't we? This is just an acronym, not an anacronym, an acronym. Just a way of praying. But I think we've done the rejoicing now. So why are we repenting? Isn't this a bit of a downer? But you know, we find that that the people in the Bible, this is the way that it goes. We find that that people like Nebuchadnezzar, people like Paul, people like Peter, people like Isaiah, they encounter God and they see this incredible God. And then suddenly they see themselves and they say, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And as we spend time with God, inevitably we begin to reflect on the state of our own hearts. As Keller said, we attain that self-knowledge in the image and in the presence of God. Prayer is the only entryway into genuine self-knowledge. It's the main way we experience deep change. I actually have a list of sins. I have a prayer list, which I often go through. And I have a little bit for myself. And there I put the main areas of my life where I slip up, where God has shown me, Nick, we need change here. We need change here. When we see God's love and the generosity and the kindness of God and the fact that he doesn't judge us, it shows up our judgmental spirit. It's something that God has shown in me. Nick, I want this to change. I don't like that bit of you. And so I pray about those things in my prayer time. How can we change if we don't ask God to change us? Job, he said this. He said, I'd heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. He'd been saying chapters of things about God, but towards the end of that book, he suddenly meets God. And he said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. I've got all the theory, but now my eyes have seen you. Oh dear, I despise myself, the things that I've said. And I repent in dust and ashes. So God changes us in prayer. And then there's A. What is A? Amen. Sorry? Ask. Ask. This is a terribly important part of prayer, isn't it? What would prayer be without the asking? And you know, we find that this is very often the easiest thing, because we're all so needy, aren't we? And we're all so wanty that if we forget anything, it probably isn't going to be the asking part of prayer. Let me tell you a little story. Two or three weeks ago, I'd been asked to go in early. I'd been teaching a couple of mornings in a language school in Oxford Street. And they asked me if I would come in an hour early and teach a class, a lesson I'd never taught before. Major panic. And so I was up kind of getting my lesson plans ready and revising what I was supposed to teach and all the rest of it. And my quiet time became very, very minute that morning. And I missed the bus that I normally take down. And so I had to get the tube, and it was a warm day, but it started cold, so I put on my leather jacket, and I got down to the tube, and it was so hot, and I was hot and bothered. I took off my jacket, put it over my arm, jumped onto the packed Northern Line tube, and headed off to Oxford, off to Tottenham Court Road. When I got off of Tottenham Court Road, I had that slight sense of nakedness, and it was my phone. My phone was missing. So, major, major, major panic. I don't know how you feel about it when you lose your phone. I use my phone a great deal, and it's actually very useful to me. I pray that it won't become a god, but actually it's very, very useful remembering all sorts of things. Anyway, I was even going to use it in that class, but I didn't have it. What could I do? Powerless me. So I rushed to the language school, tried to use their internet to go online, because if you go online with Apple and no doubt other applications, you can find your phone. And so, beam me up, Scotty, find my phone. And I couldn't get on the internet. They'd blocked the iCloud. So I rushed out, went into Starbucks, went online, looked for my phone, nowhere. I knew it would probably be still alive unless somebody had switched it off. Stolen, my conclusion. Anyway, I had to go into the lessons and I was really distracted. And so I just said to God, just remember that my phone is part of your covenant with me. I said it, that phone belongs to me and I am your child. Could you please look out for that phone? Anyway, and I said, please give me a word because I'm in such a state. And so immediately came, the verse came to mind, be still and know that I am God. And I thought, okay, I'll try. I've got three lessons. There's nothing else I can do. I'm just going to have to let that thief and robber wander around London. It'll probably be out of the country by the time my lesson's over. But hey, be still and know that I'm God. So I took that word into my lesson. At the end of my lessons, I went out to Vodafone that was just around the corner. I explained what had happened, and they said, do not think that in London you're going to get your phone back. That phone will have been stolen. So you need a new SIM. So I said to them, well, just hang on a minute. So I then went to the Apple store to see how much a replacement might cost me. I also, at this point, wasn't sure whether I'd insured the phone, so it was all getting pretty bad in my mind. So the lovely person at the Apple store said, let's just have a look, sir. Went online, and this map appeared, and there, beep, 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 Tufnell Park Tube Station. Hallelujah! I jumped, it was A for hallelujah. I jumped onto the train, went back there, and they said, well, what does this phone look like, sir? And I said, well, Apple told me that it's in this station. And so kind of reluctantly, the guy went to the back office, opened the drawer, got out a brown envelope, and there was my phone. Praise God. But, you know, why did I have to go through that? I was so grateful to God that I lived on the gratitude of that for at least 2 days. And, you know, sometimes the trials that God puts us through, he puts us through just to get us to pray. Because sometimes there's no other way he's going to do it. You know, sometimes we'd save ourselves a lot of hassle if we prayed before. So I'm just suggesting ask. And it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. And if you can't find, God will find it for you. Okay, John 16:24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be full. God wants to answer our prayer. And my joy was full. Moving on quickly. Just quickly, some of the things that we need to ask for. These are things in the Lord's Prayer. Don't forget to ask for these things. Give us this day our daily bread. Raywin will tell you, because she lives in our house, and I sometimes get an inkling on what she prays about. I believe it's true to say, Raywin, that at the beginning of the day, if you possibly can, you pray through all the things you're going to do during the day. Is that true? Yeah, and it's very good advice. Ask for the things that you need, this daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. If we don't ask for forgiveness, we're not going to receive it. We're not going to receive the good of it unless we actually confess our sin and ask God to forgive us. As we forgive others, very difficult. Let's ask for the love that we need to love the people that we find difficult. Lead us not into temptation. How arrogant that we would think, that I would think, as I often do, that I cannot sin without God's help. I am a hopeless and a helpless sinner. Without God, I'm rubbish, believe me. And so I need to get him on board to live his life. Lord Jesus, would you come today and live your holy life through me? Protection. Would we be protected sometimes if we didn't ask God to protect us? I don't think so. I remember with my shop, we were burgled over and over again. Until one day, Joe and I decided that we were going to pray every day that God would protect us. And this is in our daily prayer. Lord, deliver us from evil. And do you know, from that day, We never lost anything. The glass was broken. Occasionally, even the door was open, but nobody took anything because we bothered to pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. It doesn't mean that God's going to ever let anything bad happen to you. Stephen was probably praying, deliver us from evil. But God at that point was ready to take him into heaven. But we need to normally pray, protect us, Lord, deliver us from evil. And then don't forget to pray for others. God wants us to reach out beyond ourselves and start praying, your kingdom come, for our family, for our friends, for our neighbors, for our country, for our world. He wants us to start praying. And if we don't pray, not much is going to happen. The last one is why. Now, what could why possibly mean? Anyone like to guess who wasn't in the prayer meeting, Joe? Yield. Amazing. Very good. Yield. What on earth does yield mean? Since Verdon told me off, I've got to explain all the difficult words. So here we go. Yield. I'm going to explain it in a picture. In America, if you see a sign that says yield, it really means give way in real proper English. Okay? Give way. They say yield, we say give way. It means the same thing. It's really at the end of our prayer. It's giving ourselves to God. He doesn't want us just to ask for things from him. Sometimes we are to be the answer to our own prayers, as we're going to see in a minute when we look at Isaiah. So we need to just spend a little time in prayer saying, God, I'm just giving myself to you today. What do you want to do with my life? Who do you want me to talk to today? Give me an opportunity to maybe share your love with somebody today. I yield to you. Maybe there's something you've been wrestling with God over, refusing stubbornly to do. Well, we've got this at the end, so your heart's a little softer and sweeter to just say yes to Jesus. When Isaiah, he went through this process, the first thing Isaiah said, he said, I saw the Lord. And he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And I saw the seraphim, and they were crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. He saw the Lord. So that was his praise, wasn't it? He saw the Lord. And when he saw the Lord, he said, oh dear, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in a people of unclean lips. So God took a coal of fire from that altar of incense in heaven, and he put it on his lips, and he said, you're cleansed. He received forgiveness for his sin. And then God said, I've got all these things I want to say. Who's going to say? Who's going to go for me? And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Amazing. The final ingredient. I said at the beginning I was going to share the final ingredient. There they were, the sweet spices, stacte, galbanum, and onycha. And frankincense was added, and then salt was mixed. And then something else had to happen, because these were just spices. They smelt a little bit. But in order to get that pungency, to get the power in that fragrance, what did they need to add? Who can tell me? Oil? Could be oil, but it wasn't oil. It was hotter than oil. There's your clue. Fire. And there's the high priest at the altar of incense, where they put fire into that mixture of fragrance. So we can have all these ideas about prayer, but we need the Holy Spirit. Revelation 8 talks about this. It says, and another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints. So the picture is there, like David. This angel had all this incense, and it was mixed up with all the prayers of the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. And then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. There's power in the fire of the Holy Spirit in our prayers. Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. We're so weak in prayer, aren't we? Anyone here not weak in prayer? We're weak, aren't we? We find it difficult and we just got to keep on going. But God wants to help us. The Holy Spirit helps us. Thank God. Little quote here from another favorite author of mine, a Norwegian pastor a while ago called Ole Hallersby, wrote a classic book on prayer that I'd recommend to anybody that can get hold of it. All the best books are cheap on Amazon. They're usually out of print, and you can get them for a penny plus the postage. So I'd recommend this one. If you find the difficulties in prayer so insurmountably great that you become disheartened, then pray for the spirit of prayer. This is something that you can do tomorrow morning. We can do it today. Pray specifically for this, for the spirit of prayer. He will help you in your weakness. It is written that the Lord will pour out a spirit of prayer. And just to show you that's true, the final verse, then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David. That's Zechariah 12, verse 10. Then I will pour out on the house of David a spirit of grace and prayer. This is the fire that we need. Let's stand, shall we? Johnny, if you're here, let's just be quiet before God for a moment. Let's just meditate on those four things. Let's just praise him in our heart. Let's just think about the thing you know about God that you most appreciate. Maybe it's his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his forgiveness, the cross of Jesus. Maybe it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's his greatness and majesty. Maybe it's his holiness that you've seen something of how holy God is. Maybe it's his awesomeness. Father, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We want to enter your gates this morning with thanksgiving. Father, we thank you for all you have done for us. Thank you for the tea and coffee at the back. Thank you for the clothes in which we stand, for the breath that we breathe. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for the Savior. Thank you for this precious Holy Spirit who helps us to pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to ask you for something this morning. We come to you as a church, and we come to you as individuals. And Father, we confess we find prayer difficult. None of us are much good at it, Lord. And we pray that you would teach us to pray. And we pray that you would give us, as it promises in Zechariah, a spirit of prayer. Father, would you put a spirit of prayer in our individual hearts? Father, where the coal is burning black and not red, Lord, would you breathe a spirit of prayer into our hearts? Would you renew us? Would you regenerate us? Breathe, O blessed Spirit. Breathe afresh a spirit of prayer into our hearts. Today we pray, Lord. Breathe into our prayer meetings. Breathe into the prayer meetings that we have with our friends in our flats, with our family. Father, just breathe a spirit of prayer into us today, Lord. And Father, we say to you that we want to repent of the things that you're speaking to us about, Lord. Sometimes there seem so many things, Lord. Sometimes we're so deaf we can't even hear anything you're saying to us, Lord. But we pray you would reveal to us the things that offend you. David said, cleanse me from hidden sins. We say the same, Lord. Show us the things that make our hearts hard. Show us the things that make your voice seem far away. Show us the things that make us blind, Lord. And in your mercy, draw us to yourself. Wash us, cleanse us, purify us in your blood, Lord. And we want to yield to you this morning, Lord. Father, like Isaiah, he said, I'll go. That young man, I'll go. And he did. And Father, we want to just yield our lives to you afresh today. What is it that you have for us tomorrow? What is the situation you've placed us in today, Lord? We just want to be available to you, Lord, and we just humbly offer ourselves to you today in as much as we can. In Jesus' name, amen. We're just going to spend a little time praising God. Let's just use this time to allow God to touch our hearts, to continue speaking to us. If you want to go and pick up children or get a cup of coffee or tea or do something, feel free. But let's just start by worship and just give God a little bit more of our hearts.
Good morning. We're going to make a start in a couple of minutes. If you'd like to take a seat, that would be wonderful. Good morning. If you'd like to take a seat, make yourselves comfortable, but not too comfortable. Welcome this morning to New Life. Always such a lovely positive thing to say, doesn't it? Welcome to New Life. Hope you're enjoying New Life this morning. I don't know if you've probably heard that phrase, the self-made man. When people are sort of talking about somebody whose success is, in their view, put down completely to their hard work and their skill and all of their efforts. There's a lovely verse in the book of Ephesians where Paul says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So there's no self-made people here this morning. We are God's workmanship. And as we gather this morning, I think it's good just to offer ourselves again to the one who is at work within our lives to change us and to transform us. Let's stand, shall we? Let's, Lord, we want to offer ourselves again to you. We thank you that we are indeed your workmanship. And Lord, in each one of us, you have transformed something dark and ugly and useless, Lord, by the work of your Holy Spirit, into something useful, beautiful, and wonderful, Lord Jesus. This incredible work you're doing within each one of us, Lord. And we pray this morning for this precious work, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for the incredible work of salvation, Lord, the transformation, Lord, as we come from death to life by the work of your Spirit, Lord. And we pray this morning, Lord Jesus, because we know we're also on a journey. We're also being changed, Lord Jesus, being transformed, Lord. We want more of this wonderful transformation, Lord God. We pray, work in us today. Holy Spirit, come. May we be willing, yielded, recognizing that it's your work within us that matters the most, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jo. She's out with Ali. She's coming in. Fantastic. Oh, it's lovely. Before the meeting, there's a prayer meeting each Sunday morning, which you're welcome to join us for. And it's lovely when God sort of gives people pictures and stuff. It's good to hear what God's saying in the prayer meeting. And Joe and Vicky both had pictures in the prayer meeting. Sorry, Joe.
Oh, dear, I'm so glad church is for everybody. I was outside with a rogue member and I. We were taking a quick run because it was a bit long to sit still. When we were praying this morning, and can I just say we had the most wonderful time with the children and young people came in. Prayed this morning. It was really very fantastic. I know I'm not supposed to say this, but can I quickly just quote a line from one of their prayers? One of the boys said, "Lord, how wonderful that we have someone so lovely to serve," which was just so touched me. So that was wonderful. In the other prayer meeting, yeah, just that I saw as if people were in the shadows and on the fringes and on the edges, and God was in the light and wanting us to come out of our darkness and into his glorious light.
Just before Joe had that picture and shared it in the prayer meeting, I had a picture. I didn't know what it meant. But when she said that, I realised what it meant. So I had a picture of some people standing like in a corridor, and it was quite dark. And in this lovely room, just beyond them, was a beautiful painting. And it was full of flowers and light and sunflowers and skies and really beautiful. And it was a big painting and it was all lit up. And these people were sort of standing looking at it thinking, I really want to go and see that painting. But they needed to walk down the corridor and go into the room. And I felt it was the same picture as Joe had, that God wants you to come in and really meet with this wonderful, loving God this morning. And really, if you feel a bit on the outside or a bit on the edge, he has such beauty. He's so beautiful. And just draw near.
It struck me this morning that some of the songs we've been singing, that there are two wonderful reasons to draw near and to worship God this morning. One is that he made this incredible planet and, you know, everything beyond that, that is beyond our understanding and our comprehension. And he made us. And he set us in this incredibly beautiful planet, this verdant planet. And of course, humankind, through Adam, has wrecked it all. And so he's come back and he's redeemed this us, if you like, in this planet. So I think there's two wonderful reasons this morning to continue our worship. And that is because he made all this and then he paid a price to redeem it all again. And it's a wonderful God we serve, as Joe said. We're going to take the offering now, so if you'd like to give, if you're a visitor, then please don't feel under any obligation to give. We have this wonderful red bucket, as we call it. I'm not quite sure it's a bucket. It's not got no handle, but, you know, that's what we'll call it for now. If you'd like to bring your offering if you wish to, as we continue to worship. Amen. Those of you that know me know how excited I get to have the privilege of showing the notices when Paul is away. It's a great responsibility. We're going to start this morning. Michelle is going to remind us of the verse.
Well, I'm sorry about this, but it's seven verses. I know, terrible. But it does help you. It's like a story. And maybe you could just pick a line out that you like. Even the last bit's quite good in this current climate with all sorts of fears of terrorists and things like that. Anyway, yes, so here we go. So it reminds us who God is. It reminds us that God is the sovereign, God is our creator and our protector, and that we don't have to fear anything that happens around us because we can trust in God. And as I've banged on about these verses, and we've got two more years to go, sorry, but it's really worth it because Jesus will put you on his rock as you learn the verses, and his truth will become your foundation. So without God's word in our core, then we're flaky and people say things and we're swayed all over the place and it's no good. We need to stand firm. And the only way to stand firm is in the truth of Jesus. So I'm just going to read this out to you. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment, and do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety. Okay, I'll say that again. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of the sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence. And in our, you know, terrorist things, there's the Smith family just avoided it by minutes. And, you know, God is big and able to help us.
Just two other notices. We have the wonderful Dan Sneed visiting us next week from the US of A. Dan is one of these wonderful preachers who, when he's preaching, I don't want him to stop because what he's saying is so good. and so full of life. And he's one of these people that communicates so naturally that I always personally look forward to his coming. So recommend Dan next week. And we also have a church lunch. So if you'd like to bring a main course or a dessert, that would be wonderful. Shoeboxes, we need to have them back here by the 29th of October. So if you're doing a shoebox for the Christmas Child thing, then we need it back here so that it can be taken and sent off before the end of October. That's it. Thank you very much for your patience. And what do I say next? I don't know. Paul. Children go. That's it. Thank you.